Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
The last 2 weeks, we've been speaking about the kingdom of God. We started with a message in the first week of March entitled First Things First. The idea behind this message was to talk about the very first message that Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Last week, we continued that message on living on the flip side, the Beatitudes, where Jesus mentions the word blessed 9 times and explains how the kingdom is about being blessed and how it works. The ending of that message, however, says in chapter 5, verse 11, is blessed are you when people insult you, which kind of makes you think about the idea of how can I be blessed when people insult me or persecute you or falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That's how the message almost ended until he said, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you can expect that of yourself. I think Jesus said that because we're going to be constantly under threat. It's almost like a goldfish facing a shark every day. And because of that, there will be a tendency to withdraw. Thus, he follows up that message with a message that will help us not withdraw, but fight instead of take flight. He told them that you are valuable and have a very important role to play in this world. He says it in this way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. He follows that up in verse 14, you are the light of the world. He explains to us that you might not be applauded for this, but you have certainly a very important role to play on this earth. He begins by saying, you are the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth is something very important. In fact, it was his way of saying, you are valuable. For many of us, when we see salt, it looks like this. Back in the Roman days when Jesus said this, salt was extremely valuable. Roman soldiers were actually paid in salt because it was their way to preserve meals and vegetables and all sorts of things. In fact, there was a term for it called salarium. Salarium is where we get the French word salaire and where we get the word salary. The word sal there is actually salt. And while salt was a commodity that you could find anywhere, the fact is it was valuable not because of the commodity, but because of its accessibility and availability when the Roman soldiers were in journey. It was their way of preserving food. In short, the value of salt is not that it's any more special than any other salt. It's because of its presence versus its absence. You see, when you're present, this salt is present, it is necessary for hydration. You and I cannot live without salt in our bodies because it retains hydration in our lives. The most popular drinks, Gatorade, about retaining hydration, is about salt, the quantity of salt that goes in. Our lives are salt. We bring hydration to people's lives. This is a text message from a friend of mine who said, hi, Pastor Joey. Just want to convey our thanks and appreciation for your wholehearted support to their daughter. Her daughter has cancer. And what I do is I call her every week, and she looks forward to it. And all I'm doing is bringing her hydration. All I'm doing is saying hello to her. All I'm doing is praying for her. By being present, we begin to bring hydration in the lives of people. Salt is not just necessary for hydration, it's necessary for freshness. I have a place that I go to in the mall where I eat salads, and lately I've been noticing that they've been losing help. Apparently, their business is badly affected. I walked in one day and I saw that the couple was the one serving, and they've had to retrench and get some of their employees off. And I started talking to them about the business, and I asked them, would you be interested if I prayed for your business? And I said, do you believe in God? And they said, they mentioned their religion, which was not Christian. But I said, would you mind if I prayed in Jesus' name? To be a place of hydration and freshness is not necessary to convert people, but to simply be present. To be present as salt and light of the earth is really what Jesus was talking about, our value. Further, it says, it thaws ice. See, when highways are frozen with ice, people who operate these highways take salt to melt the ice. And that's the value of our lives. Our lives do not just bring hydration and freshness. We thaw the hard-hearted hearts that people have, the cold-hearted hearts that people have. Our sheer presence is valuable. And that's what Jesus was telling them. I know you may be persecuted. I know you may get hurt in the process, but you are valuable. Secondly, you preserve the earth. You just don't hydrate, refresh, and thaw. Think about fish that is not preserved. You can imagine the decay. You can imagine the smell and the stench. And our lives, our presence on this earth slows down the process of moral decay in society. We literally are there to preserve the moral fiber and fabric of societies. Some of you are probably wondering, how do I do that? Well, for some, it's just being a parent. Most of the time, parenting is nothing any more special than just being present at home. It's just being the person that God made you to be, and just to be the purpose for your children that you are, which is to provide for them and to bring peace in your home and to protect them. And many times, it's sheer presence. I remember the years when my dad would be present in our home. His voice alone was enough to give me peace. The thought and the knowledge that he was there and that all was going to be okay because he was going to provide and protect us was more than enough. And that's what I mean when Jesus said he's giving us the ability to be salt of the earth, our presence. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 continues, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" And this is the danger of just being religious. Jesus was not after you having religious practices. He wanted us to be the kind of people that will remain salty. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's useless. Salt preserves not just fish, but even vegetables. Think about olives that without the salt and the brine will not be there when we need it. Truth decays. Not just tooth decay, truth decay. And for that, we may be persecuted. I remember a time when I posted this in 2019 about my thoughts about abortion. And I don't know whether you agree with it or not, or some people find it's legal or illegal. That wasn't my point. My point is, the truth is, that's not a good thing. And what resulted was, for the first time, I had 125,000 reactions and 1,900 comments. A lot of them were ugly. A lot of them were saying bad things about me. But the point of the matter is, it doesn't matter how I feel. I could be persecuted for it. My job is to be a moral preservative. My job is to preserve the truth. And that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. You are the kingdom of God. You are the people of the kingdom of God. And you are the salt of the earth. Salt also preserves meats. And many times the heavy load of care of preserving these things are left on people like us. Our job is to preserve standards and preserve rights and morality. This is what is known as ethics. And we are the preservatives of ethics in society. And people may never even realize that, and that is not the point. Salt is often not recognized when it's put into a meal or to preserve things, but it's there anyway. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, you are the salt of the earth. You're valuable, you preserve the earth, and thirdly, you season the earth. Now, salt was not just a preservative, it was also a seasoning. And seasoning was not just merely for flavor. The 1828 dictionary says that salt, or seasoning rather, is a transitive verb to render palatable, to make something taste better, to give a higher relish to another by the addition of mixture for another substance more pungent or pleasant. To season is a meat with salt, or to season anything with spices. In fact, there's a verse that comes after it, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, season all your grain offerings with salt. It's interesting, isn't it? That part of the reason why salt exists is not just to preserve, but to bring out the best. That's part of our job. When we are around people, when we serve people, we are there to bring out the best in them. I'm reminded of a moment when I took a grab. I tried to hire one, and this woman came. It was interesting that she had a big Bible right beside her, and obviously she just came from church. But she was the most ornery, bad-tempered, and kept scolding me. It wasn't a good idea. It's not about you just being religious. Jesus said the people of the kingdom are meant to be salt, Bring out the best in people. That when people hang out around you, they feel good. They're actually making them laugh and smile and even just being around you, talking to you, receiving emails from you, rather than not just flavoring, but burning people out. Our job is to season people. Our job is to bring out the best in our wives, our children, the people we work with, the people we interface with. Further in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, let me explain something. He's shifting here where he talks about salt, which we may not be very obvious that's there. A light is something pretty obvious, right? It's a different thing. He says, "You're the salt of the earth, but you're also the light of the world." Now, this is interesting because at some point in John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus says, "While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now that I'm no longer in the world, you are the light of the world, and a town built on a hill cannot be hidden." In short, while salt may be something that is not noticeable, light isn't. We need to let our lives be seen. Our lives need to be seen by others. Not that you want to display it, but at some point you need to be conscious of the fact that people are watching that light. "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Notice the words, "but now you are light in the Lord." Back in the day when Jesus said this, light would look like this. There were lamps that had oil in them. And the only way they could stay lighted was to keep yourself in oil. To be soaked in God is the only way our light will remain shining. He goes on to say, not only keep yourself in the oil of God, he says in Ephesians 5 verse 8, "You are once in darkness, but now live as the light in the Lord. Live as children of light." I love this idea because children had no pretenses. They're just real. I'm reminded of this post that I found on the internet about this man who says, "I took my 8-year-old to the office on a take your child to work day. It's interesting," he says, "as we were walking around, she started crying and getting very cranky. So I asked her what was wrong. The child said, as my coworkers gathered around, the child said she sobbed, 'Daddy, where are the clowns that you said you worked with?'" And it's funny how children are very real. And that's what Jesus meant by being light. It didn't mean that we had to be perfect. It didn't mean that we had to have all the things working or we had the brightest light. It simply meant be real. Keep it real. Some of us, in being real, will be more ornate, brighter, more fancier than others. But the point is, regardless of who you are, be childlike and be real in the light that God has given you. Further in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." The purpose of being a light is so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him. Keep yourself in oil. Keep it real. Keep it about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. He says, "who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Point being is that you don't have to be a laser show. You just have to keep it about Jesus and keep it consistent. How do you become light? Keep yourself in oil. Keep it real. Keep it about Jesus, and keep it consistent. Further in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 15, he says, "Neither do the people of light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Where does light begin? It's interesting where Jesus said, do it at home. Before you go out and display your light in different places, let your light be seen primarily in your home. Start with being a light to your spouse. Sometimes our own spouses don't see the light of Jesus in us. Start with doing that with the people you live with, your relatives, your children. And if you're a child, be a light to your parents. It's probably the only light that they're going to see. Extended family. Light begins at home. In verse 16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Notice, they may see. Light is to be seen. And if we're going to do that, let your light shine before others. Now, take note, Don't let your light shine on you. Don't let your light shine on other people's faces. In other words, don't focus the light on their faces. They're not going to like it. But before others, in the way you just conduct life, the light is going to be obvious and people will know that you are of the kingdom of God. Finally, in verse 16, it says, make your good deeds be seen and glorify your Father in heaven. Our good deeds are not necessarily all about great things. I remember a time when I actually said something offensive while I was talking to somebody. And that man left because he was respecting me because I was older and I was a pastor. And he told my son, you know, that thing your father said was derogatory, was wrong. And I remember I asked my son, because I met the guy fairly recently, give me his office address and let me visit him. And he was shocked when I showed up and I basically said, I'm so sorry for what I did and I apologize. And I reminded him about what I said. Sometimes our light is simply just accepting the reality and the truth of what mistakes we make. And sometimes that's the light that people see. And it's interesting how that man ended up coming to church one day because he's never seen light like that. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 says, and glorify your Father in heaven. When we become the light of the world and let our light be seen and let our light start at home and let our light shine before others, we will be able to become who Jesus intended us to be. Salt of the earth, light of the world. I began by talking to you about first things first, the kingdom of God, and how the kingdom of God is near and how God wants us to live in this kingdom. I talked to you about the flip side, how this is an upside-down kingdom that works in a very different way. But what I want to point out to you as I close this message is what we've said earlier. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You. And it's interesting to see that we're not just salt of the earth and light. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. That means individually, whether we're alone, facing sharks and getting persecuted, Jesus said, we are. Not, we're going to try to earn this. By the way, do not make a mistake of thinking that I'm talking about earning your way into the kingdom of God. No, you don't have to earn being salt. You are the salt of the earth. You don't have to perform to become salt. It's not saying you could become salt, you should become salt, hope to be salt, you feel like you're not salt. You are salt. In other words, if you just be who God made you to be, you will be the preservative. You will be the valuable presence in people's lives that bring hydration, that bring preservation, and that bring seasoning to the lives of people. You will be the light that can be seen. You will be the light in your home, and you will be the light that will shine before others individually. More than that, you're also going to be the light that will be collectively shining. It's one thing to be a light alone. It's another thing when you become a light with others. Collectively, you can light the world. Many times as believers or people of faith, we find people whose lamps are extinguished and it discourages us. And let me tell you something. For every single bad report that you find about a person or a pastor who did something wrong, there are millions of others whose lights are shining. Do not let that discourage you. Do not make that let you make take flight, fight. Because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And collectively, let us, the Bible tells us, draw near to God. Collectively, let us encourage one another. Collectively, let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us pray for one another. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the destiny that God has marked out for us, the salt and light of the earth. As I close, Matthew 5, 13 and 14 says, you're not just salt and you're not just light of the earth, of the world. I find this very interesting because when Jesus said this, he was talking to probably 200, 300 people, and he was speaking in a corner of the world that is so tiny on a hill in a place that was governed by Romans. Jesus' vision is so big. And at the very onset, he was telling these people who were a rabble, These were ordinary Jews sitting on a hillside and were saying, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I can't even imagine and fathom how amazing this message was to those people, individually, collectively, and globally. If we're going to change the world, we've got to understand we are members of the kingdom of God and that we are part of this upside-down kingdom, that we're blessed to be a blessing. And the way that is magnified, the way that the world sees it, is first of all, we're salt of the earth. It starts with understanding you're valuable. You preserve the earth, you season the earth, and bring out the best in people. You're the light of the world. Let your life be seen. Your light start at home. Let your light shine before others. And finally, we are. No one else is. We are individually, collectively, and globally the salt and the light of the earth. Join me in a short proclamation prayer of Jesus, the ultimate light of the world. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for counting us worthy to be called the light of the world. We know this is only true because you are the true light of the world in whom we are immersed in. We count it an honor to be those that will preserve and season the world around us. And we know that it is only possible in you and through you. It is our prayer and proclamation that the grace, power, life, and light of your kingdom shall be seen and felt as we live our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.